Our scripture lesson this morning will come from Matthew chapter 13. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, and you'll turn to Matthew chapter 13. I think my favorite sentence definition of prayer is from Rosalind Rinker in her book, Prayer Conversing with God, where she says, prayer is a conversation between two people who love each other. I like that. Prayer's a conversation between two people who love each other. Now, the key word in that definition is conversation. Now, I'm not going to confess for you, but I will confess for me that too often my prayers are not conversation. Too often, my prayers are monologue, prayer speech. Dear God, thank you for the good night. Now, here's what I need for today. I need this, and Kim needs this, and Vicky needs this, and Brian needs this, and Donna needs this, and our church needs this, and we need this, we need this. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. Amen. And out the door. That sound anything like your prayers? And sometimes I can almost feel God tucking at the collar of my shirt saying, slow down, Wilson. I would like to talk to you. Because prayer is a two-way street. Prayer, biblically understood, is a conversation. I mentioned to you several weeks ago that I hear people today talk about God giving them downloads. You know, that's what we're going to talk about today. God wants to talk to you. He wants to download ideas and thoughts and suggestions into your spirit, but we have to listen if we're going to hear him. And so that brings us to our topic as we continue our study on prayer, which is, how can I learn to listen to God? And how can I know it's God that I'm hearing? Now, when I talk about God speaking to us, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice from God, so I don't know if he's a tenor or a baritone or a bass. I don't know if he has an accent. You know, I don't know the voice of God, the audible voice of God. But here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're praying and you're not sure what to do about a situation, and all of a sudden an idea comes to your mind, a fresh thought comes to your mind, an insight comes to your mind, creative ideas come to your mind. You think, where did that come from? Well, probably came from God. That's what I'm talking about. And I hope, if you've been a Christian for very long at all, and if you have a consistent prayer time, I hope you've experienced that. God wants to talk to us, and he wants to give us ideas and creativity and things beyond our ability. And sometimes you'll find yourself doing so and say, how did I know to do that? I remember decades ago, I was doing a pastoral counseling situation. And, you know, always I'm praying for wisdom to know what to do and what to say and how to help. And I ask a question, and the person looked at me and said, how did you know to ask that? I don't know, God. And there are going to be times when God drops thoughts into your mind and says, thank you, Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Learning to listen and taking the time to listen to God. Through these last few weeks, we've been talking about the importance of maintaining connection with God. And we do that so that we can talk to him, but we also do that so that he can talk to us and he can communicate his thoughts, his plans to us. I heard an interesting story the other day. I was, you know, going to YouTube and looking at different worship leaders and things, and there was an interview with this particular worship leader that I was not familiar with. And she said that God woke her up in the middle of the night one night. She said, and he was just giving me all kinds of information. And I said to him, Lord, you need to slow down. You know, because she was a songwriter. And she says, I thought God wanted me to write this in a song. And he was moving so fast, I couldn't keep up. And she said, I heard him say, I don't really want you to do anything with this. I just want some company. I thought, oh, what an incredible picture of prayer. Hanging out with God. Talking back and forth, talking about your day, letting him pour into your spirit encouragement and insight and strength, just hanging out with him. See, that's why he wants us to pray, because he desires that fellowship with us. Sin messed it up. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. That's a pretty good definition of prayer, walking and talking with God. He wants that with us. And the passage of scripture, the parable in Matthew chapter 13, I believe gives us insight in how to learn to listen to God. Matthew 13, verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, to understand this parable, you have to understand how first century farmers sowed their seed. They didn't have the fancy equipment now, you know, that digs the trough and puts the seed in and keeps on going. They had a sack of seed that they threw over their shoulder. And as they walked their fields, they would reach in, grab a handful of seed, and just toss it. And sometimes the bag of seed would develop a little rip at the seam, and they'd be kind of dribbling seed wherever they went. So this is not a very accurate, efficient way to do things, but he's just picking handfuls of seed and tossing it. So you can see why it would land in different places, because there was really no rhyme or reason to the sowing of the seed. Well, I love it when Jesus tells a parable and then tells us what he means, because we don't have to guess what he meant. And in verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And let me just put in a parenthesis there. When we began our church, one of our statements was, we want to present biblical truth in an understandable and believable way. Because isn't it true that sometimes you hear people teach the Bible and you have no idea what they're saying? And we want people, you know, when you leave this place, I want you to understand what I said. You might not agree with it, you might not like it, but I at least want you to understand it. And he said, they don't understand it, so the evil one can come and snatch away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Have you seen that happen? Okay. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What Jesus is saying is, Here are different ways that people respond to the Word of God. I have preached this passage to inform us of when you share your faith, when you talk about the Lord with people, you'll probably get one of these four responses. There are going to be people that look at you like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, they're just different responses because the soil's different. Any message from God will receive a different response depending on the soil of our heart. And this is also true as it relates to what God wants to speak to us through prayer. So let's look at these four soils and learn how to listen to God. The first soil is the stony path. I heard somebody say one time, before you put down a sidewalk, wait a few weeks and see where the people walk to get from one place to the other, and then put the sidewalk there. That's a pretty good idea. Isn't it true that almost every sidewalk you've seen, there's the sidewalk is square, but in the angle, there's always the corner where people have not walked all the way down, and they've cut the corner, and there's this hard soil where there's no grass, where people have gotten off the sidewalk and taken a shortcut. Well, that's what this path is. It's everybody walked because, you know, in those days, to get from one place to another, you took the shortest route, and sometimes that was through somebody's field. And so there would be paths where people had walked. When our kids were younger, one of the places we lived in, they had friends that lived like three or four houses down, and they would cut across the backyards, go from our house to their house through everybody's backyard, and they wore a path, you know, where they were going back and forth between the houses. That's what he's talking about here. That's the stony path. It's where everything is packed down because people have trampled on it. It represents a closed, hard heart and mind. Have you ever run into anybody that had a closed mind to the things of God? Do you remember when you had a closed mind to the things of God? Or let me ask it to you this way, in a more spiritual way. Have you ever prayed and heard God tell you something you didn't want to hear? So you quit praying. Yeah, oh God, if you're going to keep bringing that up. That's the closed, hard heart. You know, sometimes we are closed to God because we're selfish and we want what we want, not what He wants. Sometimes it's because we're fearful, because we know there's something in our life we need to deal with. And we know that if we spend very much time with God, He's going to put His finger on that. He has the ability to do that, doesn't He? Put His thumb right there where you need to fix something and just leave it there till you fix it. And so what happens if we're not serious about God is we just close down and we have a hard heart and a hard mind. Where James says in chapter 1, verse 21, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So the listening principle is cultivate an open heart and mind. When you pray, you might start with, Lord, speak to me today. When you open the Bible, God, speak to me today. Give me some insight today. On your way to church, God, please speak to me today. I hope you sense this somehow, but it's important to me that you pray for me as I preach to you. Because why would you bother to get up, get yourself presentable, come to church to sit and listen to something that made no sense, had no application to your life? You know, why would you do that? I wouldn't do that. We come to hear from God, and we need to open our minds. Say, Lord, as I walk into church today, speak to me. You know what I'm struggling with. You know the questions that I have today. You know the burdens I'm carrying today. God, somehow, through this service, whether it's in a song or the prayer or the lesson or talking with my brothers and sisters, through this hour, Lord, speak to me. I open my heart to you. I open my mind to you. Remember young child Isaiah? The prophet told him, when you hear God speak, just say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." Oh, that ought to be our theme. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And make up your mind ahead of time that you're going to do what he tells you to do. Open your heart. Open your mind. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. The rest of the lessons from this parable flow from that one. The second soil is the shallow ground, the rocky places. A lot of the soil in Palestine is very thin, and then there's a layer of limestone underneath the soil. And so what happens when you don't have a whole lot of topsoil and then there's rock underneath it is you can plant it, you know, sow the seed, and the roots will take root and something will start to grow, but it can't go far because the roots run into the limestone. It's like, you know, if you remember your old country roads where they had what they called the berm or the shoulder, you know, there's a little bit of soil, but and then it's hard underneath it. This is the person, he says in verses 20 and 21, they don't have any root. This represents a shallow, superficial heart and mind. Let me tell you what I mean by shallow. You know, you learn a lot when you just listen. And I remember there are times when I was still working in the long-term care facilities. I was making my rounds, and literally in those buildings, you made rounds. And I'd be making the rounds and not able to see everybody on that hall, so I'd come back and then go back again. And first time down the hall, I'd hear these staff people talking. "Oh, man, church was great yesterday. We had revival last week. It was great, man. It was awesome, and the singing was awesome, and God is awesome, and it's wonderful." 15 minutes later, I'm back down that hallway, and the very same people are griping and fussing, and "She wants me to do this. That's not in my job. I'm not going to do that. See if somebody else can't do it." You know, and you think, wait a minute. What happened to church was awesome, and everything's great, and I'm going to live for God? That's what I mean by shallow. There's no depth. Everything is surface. There's no root. You don't develop depth in one revival service. You don't develop depth in one church service. You develop depth over time. That's why we talked a couple of weeks ago when we studied Peter and Cornelius, and we talked about Cornelius made it a habit to regularly pray. You need to have a consistent time. I don't know if this is true for all the theologians that may be tuning in, but I would rather that you spend 5 or 10 minutes a day, every day, reading some scripture and praying, than I would for you to skip a month and then pray for 3 hours one day. Because you develop roots with consistency. You develop depth over time. And so the key is take time to listen. Really listen to God. Don't hit and run in your prayer. Stop and make the time to listen. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that if you're going to have time to pray and listen to God, you're going to have to make time by taking it from something else. And I encouraged you that week, and I encourage you again today, look through your schedule and try to find a time somewhere where you can block off a little bit of time to talk and listen to God. I will tell you this, the time you spend listening to God is the longest time. I was challenged one time, and I did it for several months, to buy the watch, spend 5 minutes not saying a thing to God, just listening. Do you know how long 5 minutes is when you're just listening? It is forever. But see, we've got to get quiet enough for long enough to hear God. I frequently go back to that passage of Scripture, you know, where there was the wind, but God wasn't in the wind. And there was this noise, and God wasn't in that noise. And there was thunder, and God wasn't in the thunder. And after it all, there was a still, quiet voice. And we live in such a loud society. Noise everywhere. So much noise that they have to make noise-canceling headphones. There's noise everywhere. We need some noise-canceling spiritual headphones so that we can hear from God. Take the time. Ask God, God, show me where I can carve out just 5 minutes to lay my petition before you and then listen to what you'll say to me. Those thoughts, those ideas, those suggestions, that creative burst that comes from the presence of God. The third soil is the thorny ground. Sometimes what would happen is a lazy Palestinian farmer would cut the tops off the weeds. Sometimes he would even burn the field off, but he didn't take the roots out. And so consequently, eventually, the thorns and the weeds started growing again and choked out the good seed. And this represents, Jesus tells us, a preoccupied, cluttered heart and mind. Most of us have had this experience. We said, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better in my prayer time. I'm going to do better listening to God. And we did for a while. We had a consistent time, maybe not every day, but a pretty consistent time of reading the Scriptures and listening to God speak and praying. And we began to hear things from Him, and we would obey, and we're making progress. But then life started to happen. And other things crept in. And we found ourselves going for days or weeks or months without having a consistent time with God. That's what this thorny soil represents. It's the seed is there. It's taking root, but there's so much clutter that it chokes out the good seed. And I love it that Jesus even tells us what the thorns are. See, but preachers don't like that because we want to preach on thorns and we want to make up what we think your problem is and preach against it, you know. But Jesus tells us, here's what the thorns are. Verse 22, the worries of this life. Oh. You ever had that choke out your time with God? The worries of this life. What's interesting is this is a word of commerce, a word of business. And it means the distractions and worries of making a living and trying to make it in our world. And then he says the deceitfulness of wealth. I think what he's talking about there is, you know, somebody asked Rockefeller at the height of his wealth, how much money does it take to make somebody happy? And he said, one more dollar. And people are just chasing that one more dollar. And it's deceitful because it can never satisfy. But it's one of those thorns that can choke out the word. We're so busy trying to make a living, legitimately. But if we're not careful, the affairs of life, the busyness of life, the worry of the economy and finances and trying to make it. I remember a few years ago when we had the big crash, I remember at work people said, I've got to work 10 more years than I was planning to because I just lost everything. You know, that stuff weighs on you. And if you're not careful, it chokes out the word. And Mark, in Mark's account, chapter 4, verse 19, he also adds this, and the desire for other things. He didn't say the desire for sinful things, the desire for evil things. He just said the desire for other things. So I would just ask you, what is it that chokes out the word in your life? What is the desire for other things? What is the worries of this life that keep you from a consistent time with God? The listening principle is eliminate the distractions. You know what your distractions are. You know what the clutter is in your spiritual life that keeps you from time with God. No, I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to quit your hobby. I'm not telling you you can never watch TV or listen to your podcast. But I am saying, just please make sure that your time with God is a priority and eliminate the distractions. And then finally, we come to the good soil. I think it's kind of telling that out of four soils, only one of them's good. So don't get discouraged when you try to share your faith, and it seems like 75% of the time people aren't hearing it. It's okay. We get to the good ground. Matthew says, here in verse 23, he hears and understands it. Mark says they hear and accept it. And Luke says they hear and retain it. And by persevering, they produce a crop. I love that progression. You've got to understand it. Then you have to accept it. Then you have to retain it and persevere. When you hear God's word, when God speaks to you, whether it's through a sermon, through a song, in your prayer time, when God speaks to you, understand it, accept it, retain it, and keep doing it. This soil represents a fruitful, willing heart and mind. Lord, I'm willing not just to hear from you, I'm willing to obey. James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't just hear the word, do what it says. Otherwise, you're deceived and you forget what it was you heard. Don't just hear it, do what it says. And that's the listening principle. Obey what you hear from God. I'm going to revisit this sometime in the coming weeks. But let me just kind of introduce that lesson to you by talking about how do you know it's from God? When you hear something, how do you know it's not just indigestion, you know, or it's the devil or it's your own voice? You know, sometimes you'll hear something when you're praying and it comes with a sense almost of condemnation. You better straighten up and you better do it now or you're going to, that's not God. Sometimes you say, oh, I got to do this right now. I got to do it right now. That's not God. Because God tells you to test what you're hearing, test the spirits. He'll give you time to do that. The voice of God is not condemning. The voice of God is not harassing. The voice of God is not pushing. So how do you know if it's from God? This idea you have, this insight, this thought, this suggestion that came to you while you were praying, how can you know if it's from God? Well, first, is it biblical? A lot of people's ideas would get squashed right here because it's not what the Bible says. When you hear from God, He will never contradict what the Bible says. Well, I was praying and the Lord told me that it was all right to leave my spouse because He wants me happy and so I'm going somewhere. No, it's not God. Well, God told me, you know, just God gets blamed for a lot of stuff He never said. Is it biblical? How do you know? God will never contradict the Bible. Is it right? That is to say, is it ethical? Is it moral? Somebody said a long time ago, it's never right to do wrong, even to get a chance to do right. You have to say, well, this isn't really the right thing to do, but I could do good after I do this. No. God's word, God's voice will always be ethical and moral. Is it providential? I'm going to take a couple minutes here because this is important. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, you know, open doors and closed doors. You hear say, if God closes a door, He opens another one or whatever. But open doors is providential circumstances. You're in your junior year of high school and you're starting to send out applications from schools you want to go to, and you send out 20 of them. Well, you don't send out 20 of them anymore because the application fee is through the roof. But, you know, you send out, these are the schools I want to go to. And I'm going to send out here. Only one school accepts you. It may be that that's what God's telling you. This is where I want you to go. You run into difficulties if five of them accept you. Then you got to do a little more praying and go through some more of this. But that's what I'm talking about, open and closed doors. You know, when God closes a door, that is, you're saying, God, I want this job. Could I please have this job? I really want this job. And you don't get interviewed for it. They give it to somebody else. And then that person quits and they give it yet to somebody else again. And, you know, eventually it's like, okay, for whatever reason, maybe the timing's not right or, you know, God's closing this door. Sometimes we bang our fists black and blue knocking on doors that God's closed. So is it providential? It doesn't mean you'll never have a storm. It doesn't mean you'll never have a difficulty when you're obeying God. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Halfway through, they run into a massive storm, and these professional fishermen think they're going to die. But they were doing what God told them to do. So doing what God tells you to do doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing all the way, but it means He's going to provide for you. Is it confirmed? The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I hope you have wise, experienced believers in your life that you can check things out with. You know, you've got an opportunity to take this job and you're praying about it and you can't really get a clear answer. And so you call one of your multitude of counselors. Say, I've got this opportunity for this job. Would you help me pray about it? And they say to you, are you nuts? You are not cut out for that job. You would hate that job. That's not your personality. That's not your skill set. What are you doing? You know? And then my son years ago had a job offered up to him, and his supervisor says, if you don't take this job, I will punch you in your face. You know? So you know, you need people around you who can help you sort through things. Because when you're in the middle of it, sometimes it's hard to stay clear. So that multitude of counselors, I'm thinking about doing this. Will you help me pray? Now, hopefully, your multitude of counselors are people say, well, I told you shouldn't do that. I'm not talking about those kind of people. I'm talking about people who love you, who know you, who will pray for you, who have your best interests at heart, and who maybe will give you some insight. And by the way, when they do that, it will be confirmation for you. You don't go to somebody else and say, tell me what to do. You go to somebody else and say, would you help me pray about this? Because God is not going to tell you to tell me something that He hasn't already told me. When you say, I believe God is saying this, it will be a confirmation of what I already sense God saying to me? And then, and this is so critical, do I have the peace of God? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule there means make the decision. Here's what I'm talking about. Have you ever known that you were doing what God wanted you to do, but there was on the surface, you know, man, this is a big risk. You know, I'm taking a big risk here. But deep down inside, there was peace, but I know this is the right thing. Then sometimes everything on the outside looks like this is perfect, but inside, your gut is saying something's not right. Well, I believe that for a believer who is sincere in looking for God's leadership, that gut can be the Holy Spirit saying, watch out here. Be careful here. Have you ever met somebody that was in a position where they could really help you or really hurt you, and on the surface everything was great, but something inside you says, be careful. Don't trust them too much. One of the big mistakes I made in my life, we were hiring a staff person. The church we were at the time had a Christian day school, and we were going to hire a principal. And this guy came in and had all of the accolades and all of the resume stuff and everything great. And everybody on the board, this is the guy, this is the guy. And there was something inside me. Something's not right. But they outnumbered me and they outvoted me, and I went along with it, and boy, I lived to rue that day. So listen, the peace of God. Doesn't mean you're not nervous. I mean, you know, if God's asking you to do something, you're probably going to be nervous about it, you know, because he's going to ask you to do something to stretch you a little bit. But it means that deep down inside, there's a peace that says, I know this is the right decision. That's the peace of God. But what if you're still not sure? If you still can't get clear direction? My advice, I can't prove it to you biblically, but my advice is stay where you are. Make sure you're in God's will for you now. What I mean by that is God has a will for you as a husband. God has a will for you as a wife, as a parent, as a child. God has a will for you. Make sure you're in God's will. Make sure you're being obedient to what he's shown you now. And you stay obedient, and when the time is right, God will reveal what the next step is. So I just want to encourage you to take a good hard look at your day and ask, God, help me to know where I can carve out some time on a fairly consistent basis to talk to you, and then have enough time to listen to you. And you know, I had a pastor friend years ago who ran, I don't know, some ungodly number of miles a day. And he said, that's when I'm praying, when I'm running. I heard people running on the treadmill and praying. Back when I was running on the treadmill, I prayed too. Dear Lord Jesus, if you let me live to get off this thing, I promise I'll never do it again. You know? But you know, you can, there are some things that you do that you can multitask and pray while you're doing it. But just carve out some time where you say, God, you know what I'm facing. You know the wisdom I need. I've asked you for wisdom and asked you for wisdom, but I've never listened. I remember one time, critical time in our ministry, I was crying out, God, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Lord, if you just show me what to do, I'll do it. What am I supposed to do? I don't know if God talks to you like this or not, but I heard him say, Wilson, if you just shut up for a minute, I'd tell you. Sometimes we're so busy saying, God, show me, God, show me. He said, just be still. Listen. Get your noise-canceling headphones on and listen. And then do what he's called you to do. Lord, what do you want me to do in my relationships? What's my next step in my job? What's the next step in planning for my future? What's the next attitude you want me to work on? What do you want me to do? Because he has a plan for you. And then listen. And then do what he says. God, it's sure hard to do that. But I pray that you would help us, that somehow, Lord, you would work in each of our hearts to come up with what works for us. Because I know this is not one size fits all. But what works for us to find some time where we can just be quiet and we can lay our needs before you and then we can listen for your instruction. And may we cultivate an open mind. May our attitude be, Lord, speak to me, I'm listening. And then when you show us, help us to obey. Give us your help in this area, I pray. And now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May he make his face shine on you and give you his peace now and evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here today. Go in peace.